You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast. Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to the second edition of the RedCafe.net podcast of the new season. It is me, Dov, and I'm joined by my good friend and co-host, Dan. How are you doing, Dan?
I'm not too bad, Dov. I had a decent week since last time. Like you say, I think Steve missing. I think we're going to miss him this week, but he's sunning himself in Portugal.
I'm sure he's having a better time than we are. I think you said it was him that tipped Alex Ferguson off about our new signing as well, Dan.
Yeah, I heard that he sent Fergie a bit of an email regarding Bebe. So hopefully he's seen a lot of him. And Steve's obviously a decent player himself, so he might know a good player when he sees one.
You never know. Like, we might be getting an email from just saying, yeah, he's not coming back. He's signed on a youth contract or something like that.
He's signed for Benfica.
Well, we'll sure start talking about the Charity Shield because it was a magnificent result. 3-1 against Chelsea at Wembley. Some good performances from everybody, more or less. Where would you like to start, Dan? Who was your pick of the bunch?
Obviously, I think Valencia played really well in the same team as Paul Scholes. I thought they were two fantastic performances from those two guys. Obviously, Berhtov, I've been saying it for months now, he's a quality player, provided that brilliant finish. And I think that, obviously, Hernandez getting that scrappy goal towards the end capped it off, really. And it was a good performance from United. Chelsea weren't at their best by a long way, but I think over the stretch of the season, I think we can be, you know, we'll be there or thereabouts. I've no problems saying that.
Yeah, definitely. It was a great performance from the whole side, like you said, but I think Paul Scholes was absolutely fantastic. I mean, rolling back the years, it dictated the whole game. It was just, you give him any sort of space and he's gonna take you to pieces, and he did so. And Chelsea really they should have got closer to him, but they didn't and they couldn't, and he really just opened them up more or less every time.
I mean, I was surprised at Chelsea really, because they played the usual midfield and no one got close to Scholes. No one, you know, pushed a bit forward to sit on Scholes, and I was surprised by that, because like you say, I mean, the first goal, it was a great ball from Scholes over to Rooney. And Scholes did it a few times where he played some good long balls, and obviously his short passing is second to none as well. And I thought Carrick played well alongside him. And I think the whole team really had a good performance, and you can't really pick anybody out for playing badly.
No, I would definitely agree with you, Dan. This isn't going to go very well if we keep agreeing with each other. Valencia, another guy, Valencia was fantastic on the right-hand side, really gave Ashley Cole a torrid time. Obviously, and he got a goal and got an assist as well, so it was a great performance from him, and he looks like he's going to be a key player for us this season.
Yeah, I mean, he's an athlete. I mean, even at Wigan, he was playing fairly well, but he wasn't getting the goals that probably his performances deserved. I know it's slightly tougher in a weaker team, but now he's at United, he's had a year there now, and I think that he's settled down really well. He seems to be taking a lot more confidence. He's running at people. Obviously, he did it a lot last year, but he seemed on Sunday just to attack Ashley Cole at every opportunity. Everyone knows what Valencia's going to do. He's predominantly right-footed, but it doesn't appear that many people can stop him. And you know, he's only played one game in pre-season, then he played the Shield game as well. So his fitness must be pretty decent if he's giving Ashley Cole a run for his money. And I think like you say, I think he'll be a massive player for us in the coming season.
We've got to mention Chicharito and his goal. It was some goal. I mean, I think when I was watching this, like the whole pub erupted in fits of laughter when they seen the replay. Like, they couldn't believe it the first time. Then they seen the replay. It was great.
Well, it was unusual to say at least. I don't know what he did. He kind of like stumbled, didn't he, and slipped, and then he just tried to get anything on it. And I don't know if it was going in initially to hit him in the face, but hey, a goal's a goal. Some people say he's got an assist and a goal there. So what a player this lad is. But no, he seemed to really enjoy his debut. Obviously in front of a capacity crowd at Wembley and in front of the United fans as well. Yeah, I have high hopes for him. I know. I think like you said, you know, Paul Scholes came out in an interview saying that he reminds him of Solskjaer. You can definitely see why. His finishing, even though on Sunday that was a lucky finish, but the goals he scored in pre-season and during the World Cup suggests that he can put the ball in the back of the net regularly.
Well, he has that every time he's played for us, he's scored. And I think you mentioned as well, he scored against Spain last
yes,
night.
Yes, he scored against Spain in a friendly. And obviously, it's Spain are the world champions, so if you score a goal against them, even if it was the second team, I don't know, I've not seen which players played, but goals breed confidence, don't they? And if he can carry that on into the season, and I reckon he'll start on Monday, because Ferguson mentioned about Rooney maybe not playing the majority of games at the start. But I would expect Rooney and Hernandez up front together.
I mean, you can't really fault anything he's done. I mean, every time he's coming on the pitch, he's scoring. His movement seems good as well. He likes having a run as well. He's quite a fast player, quite a pacey player. People have also compared him to Michael Owen as well. And apparently he was the fastest player at the World Cup. So he's got a lot of things going for him as well. And I mean, if he's, it doesn't matter how you score, as long as you score, and if he keeps that going, then. I think personally, he's going to be another key player for us as the season goes on.
Without bigging him up too much, I mean, it seems like he's a decent player, sort of intelligence-wise as well. He knows when to go in behind, he knows when to come short and receive the ball. I must be honest, I've been surprised how good he's been at, you know, when the ball's fired into his feet, he keeps hold of it and just lays it off nice and simple. He gets caught offside a few times, but I'm sure, you know, that'll get coached out of him and he'll become a real threat.
Indeed, and one player, which I mentioned last week, I was quite hopeful for, Dibitar, scored a wonderful goal. I'll give you the clint, and you can go on and tell everybody how great Dimitar Berbatov is.
Listen, no, I mean, I've said it many a times, and people now probably know exactly how I feel about him. I know the people on Facebook who write on that wall know exactly how I feel, but he's a terrific player. I've said that all along. Obviously, the finish on Sunday was exemplary. You know, a lot of players would have missed that. All they'd have tried to smash it through the keeper or gone round him, but Berbatov, coolness, just lofted it over the keeper, and it was brilliant. And hopefully that'll give him a bit more confidence now going into the new season. And I think he can provide and score vital goals for us as well. Obviously last year we were hearing about he had a knee injury throughout most of the end of it, which obviously could have contributed to the way he was playing towards the end of the season. But I think, you know, he's had a decent pre-season now. And he looks a little bit fitter as well. I know it's hard to tell after just a few games, but he does look a little bit thinner.
I'm glad you notice things like that. I don't notice things like that.
I always notice things about Berbatov. I think he's just a cool man.
You think he's a cool man?
He's a cool man.
I thought when he got the ball, when he picked up the ball, he was just like, yeah, I can't be bothered running anymore. I'll just
kick it. see where it ends up. No, but he's a brilliant player. I reckon this season he'll prove a lot of people wrong. Yeah, so I think United fans are still 50-50 on him.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. I think it seems to be like when he comes on, like I mentioned it last week in the friendlies, when he's coming on now, it doesn't seem lethargic as you did before, or doesn't seem the same sort of lethargy. It's more a come and give the ball to me. I'll take control of the play and sort of set people up. Sort of lay off passes and things like that, and he can hold the ball up as well. And I think this could be his season. I really have. There was something about him just in the pre-season, the way they sort of hold himself maybe a bit in the games is a bit different to what he has done before. And although he did come out and say that after he scored the goal that it's just a normal goal, so we'll see what happens. But I'm quite hopeful we can have a key role this season. And I like to be proved wrong. And then obviously the last season and a half of you telling me Berbatov's great, you might finally get the last word on that.
I will. He's a good player, you know that. I'm not going any further into it. we'll see how it goes on Monday night.
we'll see what happens. So what do you think the sort of the victory over Chelsea means? I mean, like you mentioned off air that They beat us three times last season, home and away, in the league and also in the Charity Shield as well. And obviously, we've got sort of first blood this time with a Charity Shield victory and quite a convincing one as well.
The only thing you can say about it, really, I mean, it is a friendly in the end of the day. But it lays down a bit of a marker. And like I say, it gets that sort of feeling of being beaten three times last year out of the system. So hopefully they'll do a bit better this year and get a few victories against Chelsea.
Yeah, and I hope so as well. One thing that really not surprised me a bit, but sort of gave me a little bit of confidence for the season was the amount of times that John Terry got caught out, either out of position or just for pace or general strength and things like that. And if he's a defensive leader and it was probably the weak link in their whole defensive line. So, I mean, it could be a struggle for Chelsea. And I think most people have tipped them to be a rival. So, I don't know. Don't want to read too much into it, though, because, like you say, it is only a friendly. But we have an email, Dan. I'll move on. And it's from Andy Keenan. And he's basically saying how he's been impressed with Chicharito. And he thinks he's looking sharper alongside Berbatov and could be a major player for us in the coming seasons. And he also picked his starting 11 for the whole season. No injuries are included, so it'll just be anybody that's in the squad. And he's picked Van der Sar in goals with O'Shea, Vidic, Ferdinand and Evra at the back. Then Valencia, Fletcher, Hargreaves in the middle, and then Nani on the left. And then you've got Rooney and Owen up front. So that's Andy's starting 11. What about you? What would you change in that, or would you keep it quite similar?
I think it'd be quite similar. I'd keep the same back five. I'd have Valencia on the right, as usual. I'd have Nani on the left. And obviously Fletcher, and I think Michael Carrick in the middle. I think he's a very good player. And obviously Berbatov and Rooney up front. So I think that, all in all, we've got, you know, a decent chance of winning a league with that first 11. And obviously the players to come in. We've got players like Hernandez who'll start a lot of games, I imagine. And Michael Owen who can contribute up front as well. I think that's a fairly strong, you know, first 11 for most of the teams in the Premier League.
Indeed, and I think, well, you've got the central defensive partners. We were talking about it before, but Ferdinand and Vidic, well, both of them staying fit, especially Rio, because he's a key player for us. If he can stay fit, then it will obviously give us a much better chance of getting the league back and doing something in Europe as well. Well done. We've got another email. This one's from Ben Burnell, and he's asked why we've signed another striker. We've got Berbatov, Rooney, Hernandez, Makeda. Obviously, Welbeck looks like he's going to go out on loan to Sunderland. Then Juve's obviously on loan at Blackburn as well. And obviously, he's talking about Bebe, the new guy we've signed, I think, today. He thinks we should go buy somebody like Dago or Mesut Ozil for something like £50 million. So he doesn't understand why we're spending £7 million on another striker. So, what do you think about that?
I must admit, it was a bit of a shock. It wasn't really touted around, was it? It was just like literally out of the blue. Apparently, he's been recommended by Carlos Queiroz. Obviously, we know Fergie gets on with him quite well. But yeah, I read that he's played in a homeless World Cup or something and asked other stories. Apparently, he was on a free transfer as well, like 7 months ago. And then we've ended up paying £7 million for him. If that is the right fee. But yeah, I don't know anything about him. I'm pretty sure you don't. And I'm pretty sure most Reds don't either.
Oh, Dan, I know loads about him.
Do you really? Are you? You've just been on Wikipedia, is that what you've been doing?
To be fair, I did have a look on YouTube. I thought I'll see.
Did he even have a Wikipedia page?
Yeah, he probably never had. He never had one this morning, but he's got one this afternoon. but they said, like I say, they signed him from Vitória Guimarães from Portugal, obviously. Like 5 weeks ago, that's when he signed for them, and now obviously we bought out his release clause, and I was a bit. I don't know, it's not shocked by it, but I just thought it was a strange signing as well. Like you said, he spent his youth in an orphanage and he has played in the Homeless World Cup as well. I was just trying to find out like what type of player he is, and obviously I had a look and he seems quite fast from what I've seen on YouTube, and obviously everybody should be aware it's only YouTube. He's got a good right foot. He seems quite like a strong player as well. It looks quite athletic, quite strong. So I don't know, we'll see. And he scored a number of goals in pre-season for Vitória Guimarães as well, and I don't know, it'll be interesting to see how he does. I mean, I don't think personally he'll actually start or get anywhere near the first team for a good while yet anyway, given the strikers that we have got. I think he'll just be here for a season, learn the language, learn what it is to play for United, obviously get some coaching, things like that. It's basically assess him, see if he's good. But I think it was a surprising signing, especially because we do need, I think we need a creative midfielder as well, and I'm in complete agreement with Ben there. But it's strange, especially because you've got the likes of Otso, who is available for about £13-14 million, so why not spend it on him instead of
spend it on
I'm fully in agreement with that. I mean, obviously Otso is a very good player, but you know, it's only, you know, it's only an extra £7 million more, but if you're going to spend £7 million on someone you don't know anything about, I'd personally rather spend £13 million on someone that you do know a lot about and who will have an influence on the game from the start. Like I say, this Bebe, I don't think he'll be starting many games. He won't be in the squad on Monday, I don't think. The one good thing is that obviously we've got Portuguese players at the club already. We've got Nani, and obviously Anderson speaks Portuguese as well, and obviously the Silvers as well. So I think he'll settle in okay. But whether or not he gets any game time, it remains to be seen.
Yeah, even then, like, if you look at the strikers, like, you've got Rooney, reasonably young, Hernandez young, Makeda young, Diouf young, Welbeck young. So, I mean, a lot of the, I've heard a lot of talk, obviously, with Diouf going out on loan to Blackburn, that he's probably going to be, this is his chance, basically. If he doesn't do it at Blackburn, he'll probably be shipped out quite soon. And obviously, you're not a fan of Welbeck either. I mean, this is probably the same for him, is that he's got his chance at Sunderland if he can do something.
No, I don't know about Welbeck. I think Welbeck just sort of last year he hit some sort of he didn't improve from the previous season. But I think this year, you know, obviously if he plays first team football at Sunderland week in, week out, I reckon he'll be a good player. But players need that. Young players need the first team football all the time, don't they? Not just FA Cup games and League Cup games. They need, you know, a decent amount of minutes on the pitch.
It's an interesting one. Obviously, it's a lovely story, obviously, going from the homeless World Cup to United.
Well, it's like, you know, Chris Smalling. I mean, he was playing for a non-league team, what, 3 years ago or whatever, and now he's playing for Man United. It's weird. I don't get it.
It's the new transfer.
Dreams really can come true. I mean, I'm 25 and I reckon I'm still decent. You know, I might get spotted.
I don't know. We could get Steve to send in an email as well. You never know, anything could happen. But yeah, I think most United fans would probably agree with us that it was a surprising signing, and maybe one that we don't necessarily need, but who knows, he might turn out to be the next Cristiano Ronaldo for all we know, so we shall see. Obviously, a couple of other bits and pieces happened this week. Wes Brown has retired from international football after being called up by Fabio Capello. So what do you think about that, Dan?
It's obviously good for United, give him a bit more rest, you know, in between games. But I think, I don't know really. I mean, if you get called up by your country, I think that you should really go, shouldn't you? But I can fully understand why Brown and Paul Robinson have done it as well, because, especially in Paul Robinson's case, I mean, that mistake apparently that he made against Croatia, I mean, come on, the ball bounced over his foot. And it's like, it wasn't like an absolute clangering, it wasn't his fault entirely. And, you know, so just getting written off just like that is ridiculous. And I think people in this country are quite like that, especially the media. But Wes Brown, you know, apparently he didn't get picked because he didn't play for the, you know, last 2 months of the season for United, which is a fair point. But, you know, to bring someone like Jamie Carragher into the team who hasn't played a minute in qualifying and then just pick him over someone like Wes Brown, I think it was a bit of an insult to Wes. And I think he's probably done the thing that most people would do if you're a bit, you know, annoyed at the manager.
Yeah. He did say what, a step aside to let some younger players coming through and to concentrate on United, because I mean, when he first broke through, he looked fantastic. And it was one game, I think it was away at a Highbury against Arsenal, when he marked Tierney Henry out the game playing at right back. It was fantastic to watch. And then obviously he's had just massive injuries since then, and it seems to be a seasonal thing. At some point Wes Brown's going to get an injury that's going to keep him out for a few months, so it could be good for him in the long run as well, maybe extend his club career.
This season that Wes Brown had, when we won the double, when we won the Champions League and the league, he was phenomenal at right back. You know, he played his most amount of games, I think, in a season that year, and he was consistent all the way through. I don't remember having too many bad games. And it just goes to show, you know, if someone gets played every game, they'll improve throughout the season, and if people can stay fit, then, you know, Wes Brown's an important player for us.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree. Hopefully it'll keep him injury free for the majority of the season as well. So like obviously less travelling, obviously a few more less games as well. So good thing for United, and maybe a bad thing for England. But I don't care about England. Don't know about you then.
I don't think you would.
That's all good. And a couple other sort of transferish news type news as well. We've got a couple of players who went out on loan. Josh King and Matty James are both on loan at Preston, so we'll see how they get on. And who else has went on loan? Sorry, not went on loan. Sorry, Craig Cathcart. He's left the club and has joined Blackpool for an undisclosed fee.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Well, everybody, on this edition of the RedCafe.net podcast, in the absence of Steve, we've managed to get Andy Mitten back on the show, obviously founder of the United We Stand fanzine. Andy, welcome back to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Thanks for inviting me back.
It's a pleasure, as always. Well, we're going to start with the World Cup, because obviously that was the summer's major event. Did you enjoy it?
Yes and no. I echo what Sir Alex Ferguson said about it not being a spectacular tournament. He opined that there hadn't been a decent World Cup since Mexico in 86. I mean, I have got some happy memories from Italia 90, but they might be to coincide with certain events in my life. You tend to relate them to football matches. But I watched most of the games in South Africa. I didn't go out there. I got asked to go three times, and I know it may seem mad refusing to go, but I spend most of the football season travelling, and by the end of May I'm usually shattered and I just want a rest. So I didn't go out there, and I said to my various editors I would prefer to watch Manchester United pre-season in America, and they said, are you crazy? We're offering to pay for you to go to South Africa to write about the World Cup and you're saying no. And I said, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Then I went to America. Only a week after the World Cup, I divide my time between Manchester and Barcelona. So I've been watching the Spanish team quite a lot, and I'd probably interviewed nine of the Spanish players at some point over the last couple of years, many of them several times. So even though I'm English, even though I'm from Manchester, I've never actually seen England play live. I'm not a huge England fan. I prefer them to win than lose. But I tend to watch out for the lads who I've interviewed and seen people like David Villa, the lads who play for Barcelona, doing so well. I was quite pleased for them, and I felt that Spain were the best team. They had a game plan, they stuck to it, they got results by it, even though they lost the first game, and they would deserve to be crowned world champions. And the tournament had been over about 5 or 6 days, and I was off on a plane to Philadelphia to watch some of the pre-season games with United.
Indeed, and in this pre-season tour, you put together a little video diary for various people, and well, we're lucky enough to have access to one of the videos, which will be up on the redcafe.net website as well, so everybody should go and click on that and watch it. It is very good. There's a few interesting captions and things like that. Talking about the video diary and the tour and things like that, what did you actually make of the tour of the US as a whole?
I enjoyed it a lot. I think America's a great country to travel in, and I've been fortunate enough to watch United there in 2003 and 2004. And what I wanted to do this time was drive across America. I saw the venues for the games, not in the Canadian-Mexican part of the tour, but I saw there were games in Philadelphia, Kansas and Houston. And I got a map out and thought, wouldn't it be great if I could drive all the way between games? And deliberately set out to do it by myself, and mates were saying, oh, we'll come with you, split the costs. And I said, no, I quite fancy being by myself. I'm really busy throughout the year. I love the idea of just driving. And another United fan actually did exactly the same and drove by himself as well. But I love the idea of going to places like Pittsburgh and Indianapolis and St. Louis and Kansas, and staying with people along the way, ranging from friends to Gordon Hill, the former United winger, an England winger, who lives in Dallas, and he invited me to stay. So I thought it was better to go alone rather than turn up with a mate who would invariably want to get on the beer, whereas I wanted to work. And I agreed with a couple of editors that they were as happy for me to write about the travel and the colour and the fans as the actual games, because they are pre-season matches, and no matter how you dress them up, they're not huge events. I mean, you may see it on the day when you're in somewhere like Houston and there's 70,000 people watching, but the results don't matter a great deal. So that's why I was more interested in the circus that follows Manchester United on these pre-season tours. And it is quite a big circus.
Yeah, you also mentioned in one of your blogs you wrote for 442 that you've seen United fans, the same ones that you always see on away trips there in the US, following United, obviously, across the Atlantic as well. I mean, did you meet any, I don't know, fans that maybe stuck in your memory, things like that, any sort of characters along the way?
United's fan base is full of characters, none more so than the type of people who go to all these mad pre-season matches. And there's a real eclectic bunch. I was in Saudi Arabia 2 years ago when I think there were 80,000 United supporters. And I'd count myself as a supporter, but I'm also a journalist and I'm fortunate enough to get paid to go to these places. So I can't pretend my commitment is anything like some of the people who are paying to go on the US pre-season. I met one guy and I put him in one of the video diaries on the metro in Philadelphia. And I recognised he had a Manchester accent. And I said, "Where are you from?" And it turned out he lived in Bahrain and had travelled over to the States and went to most post-season, pre-season United tours. I know a guy in Atlanta who for many, many years up until last year was going to every single European away game from Atlanta, Georgia. And then there are people who are based in the UK. Real characters. There's one guy called Paul Webster, who's from Bolton and lives in Blackpool. And he just walks around saying, "Beautiful, beautiful." And he's done that for as long as I've known him. He's a great lad. And you see the same people drawn from all across the UK. People have moved abroad. There's one guy, John Taylor, who's a very well-known London Cockney Red, and he now comes to matches from Portugal. And people are probably listening thinking, how on earth can these people afford it? And one of the guys, Phil Holt, he's from Blackpool originally, successful businessman, so he has got the money to be able to do it. But he actually commuted for two seasons, I think, from Sydney, Australia, and he missed a handful of Manchester United games. And American Express rang him up and said, when are you going to use your air miles? Because you've got more than anybody in the UK, apart from Noel Gallagher, out of Oasis. So there's all these characters who you come across and you bump into them in bars in places like Philadelphia or in Houston. And these are the type of characters I've always tried to get into United We Stand and try and get on the video diaries, because to me, they are as an important part of Manchester United and the culture as some of the players.
Some people recognise the banner United Kid's Wife in that order, and that banner was in the US as well, so that's probably one of the more famous sort of flags that you see at games. Talking about the tour though, about maybe players and performances, was there any players that particularly stood out to you in the games that you managed to catch?
Well, a lot of attention was on the new signings. Smalling did okay some games. He's definitely got something. Let's fingers crossed that he does well. And then in Houston, when Javier Hernandez made his debut and scored, and there's a lot of excitement around his instinct in front of goal, which I think people have seen in subsequent friendlies. Berbatov played well in some games. Players did well in fits and starts. I mean, Sir Alex Ferguson kept saying, this is about fitness, fitness, fitness. I really like Tom Cleverley, and I'm glad that he's staying at Old Trafford. I think he's very versatile. He can play as an attacking, defending midfielder. He can play on the left or right. And he scores goals as well. And he scored a fantastic goal in Houston. And I spoke to him after the match. And he was a well-grounded young man. And as a journalist working over there, you get very good access to the players. So that was good. You know, I spoke to people like Darren Fletcher and Johnny Evans in the mix zone after the game, because the players were instructed to speak a lot to the media, because United are obviously trying to improve their profile in America, and to do that you need to speak to journalists. So they were speaking to lots of American journalists who were giving lots of interviews and stuff like that. I think there were a couple of surprise results. There was a defeat in Kansas City where the defence was particularly poor, but United made amends in the next game. A defeat in Guadalajara as well against a Chivas team who are up and running, had much higher levels of fitness than Manchester United. So I wouldn't read too deeply into the results, but what was good was the players spending time together, getting on well, doing things they enjoyed, such as going to the Space Center in Houston or walking up the rocky steps in Philadelphia. They enjoy those type of things, and it's hardly a chore for them to go to somewhere like Chicago, which is a great city, and go shopping and have a couple of nights out. They all really seem to enjoy it. And a lot of the players love America too, because when they go to Asia, they can't really leave the hotels because of fan hysteria. When they go to America, they're not really recognised. So even Sir Alex Ferguson was walking around downtown Kansas on a Sunday morning, and one United fan went up to him and said, you know, I don't want to bother you, but just please listen to your wife's advice and never retire. And he just said, I don't have a choice. I don't have a choice. So you see the players in quite a relaxed environment.
Right, we'll move on to more recent matters. The Charity Shield was played at the weekend, and we were victorious, 3-1 win over Chelsea. What did you think of that game, in particular maybe the performances of Paul Scholes? I think most people would agree, well, he was the man of the match, and most people agree his performance was absolutely fantastic.
I'd agree with that. He's a joy to watch, and if you get space, then he exploits it. He doesn't matter how old he is. I know he's 35 now, and there were some doubts about his contract the next season. He signed it. I'd love him to play this season. I'd love him to play next season. His game's never really been about pace. Certainly not never been about tackling either. But he picks those wonderful passes out, and he also had a chance. I think Valencia cut in and crossed the ball to him, and he sort of volleyed it and skewed it. But he was brilliant, especially in the first half. And I think the Scholes and Giggs will still be very important to Manchester United this year, and to a lesser extent Gary Neville, because a lot of the young lads who are coming through, and there are a lot of young players in the squad now, they really look up to these players, not just in matches, but in training every day. So someone like Darren Fletcher, who would now be classed as an experienced member of the squad, he still looks up to somebody like Ryan Giggs or Paul Scholes. You've got your role models there every single day in training, and that's important. So I'm actually quite optimistic about the season ahead. There's quite a lot of doom lords saying we haven't spent big, we haven't done this, we haven't done that. And I can understand why people are saying that. But I still think that Sir Alex Ferguson is the best manager in football. I think he'll thrive off the adversity. I don't agree with everything he says about the Glazers. Doesn't help himself there at all. But when it comes to football, he usually gets things right. And United have only bought Hernandez and Chris Smalling. They've only spent £16 million. It's not a lot compared to others. But I'd actually rather have John O'Shea and Darren Fletcher than somebody like Yaya Toure, who Manchester City have bought. I saw in America time and time again, there's a squad there. It's a squad which is experienced in winning, and which was very hurt when they failed to lose the league last year. And hopefully this year, with more luck with injuries, United can win the title.
I hope so as well. One of the players, obviously, we mentioned Chicharito, the new signing there. He scored a wonderful goal on Sunday. He seems to have an ability to get the ball in the back of the net, no matter what. And it looks like he's going to be an exciting player for us. Obviously, we didn't spend a lot of money on him, but I think he looks like he'll be pushing for a starting 11 place against Newcastle on Monday.
I hope so. I think people were far more aware of him after the World Cup than they were before it. So credit to United scouting squad there for recognising him. And they've done that as well with, you know, Vidic was an emerging talent at the time. So was Patrice Evra, Ronaldo as well. United tend to get that calibre of players who are going to be great players. And I hope it's the same with Hernandez. I spoke to him in America, and what struck me about him is he's a bright young man. His father and grandfather both played football, and he seems to be professional in his attitude. He speaks English already. The Mexican League is a good league. He really burst onto the scene last year. I spoke to several people I know in Mexico, and they were raving about him. And I've heard comparisons made with Michael Owen, the Michael Owen of 10 years ago in terms of Hernandez's pace, and also Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in terms of his instinct and his desire to shoot on goal and find the net all the time. And even though the games have only been pre-season so far, he scored in every game that he's played. So the omens look very, very good. I think a word of caution that I don't think it's a good idea to heap too much expectation on top of him. He is still only a young lad. He hasn't played in the Premiership before. The physical demands of the Premiership are different to virtually every league in the world, but certainly looks exciting at the moment. And I wish him well.
One of his strike partners that played on Sunday was Dimitar Berbatov, who scored a lovely lob. I'm a critic of Berbatov. I don't think he really fits in to the way that we play, and I think he hinders the way we play a bit. Obviously, the United fan base is split between dislike and liking Berbatov, but I'm a bit hopeful, or more hopeful, though this season, when from what I've seen in pre-season friendlies, he seemed more of a calming influence than a lethargic influence. What are your thoughts on Berbatov? Where do you sit on the great Berbatov divide?
I think he's been less than spectacular in his first couple of seasons at Manchester United, and he hasn't looked like a £30 million player. I share your hope that he does succeed, because he's clearly talented, clearly a gifted footballer, and he isn't an outcast in the squad. I know some players don't get on with him as well as others, but you saw the reaction when he scored at Wembley. There was a lot of relief that Berbatov had scored. I don't think he always helps himself. I saw his body language in America, not on the pitch but off it. I don't think he once spoke to journalists, and he's creating a rod for his own back there, because American journalists weren't after stitching up Dimitar Berbatov. Half of them didn't even know who he was. They just wanted to speak to Manchester United first team players. And whereas Scholes, Giggs, Fletcher, Van der Sar would patiently stop and talk to the media, and Berbatov just put his head down and he sulked his way to the coach after every game by himself. And I'm looking at that as a United fan as well as a journalist, and I'm thinking, you're a bit of a prick, you. I mean, clearly I can't say that, but that was my honest reaction. Now, I don't know him. I'm not friends with him. I want him to succeed at Manchester United. But sometimes all the little percentages off the field can add up as well. I hope he does well. I really do. I think that he's certainly got the potential to. I just hope that he realises it.
Right. We've spoken a bit about the sort of attacking side of the squad and the team. You mentioned briefly during the tour that there were some sort of defensive errors and things like that. What do you make of the defence? As in, Vidic has just signed a new contract, which I think is more or less as good as a new signing. Rio has obviously had a lot of back problems and things like that. Chris Smalling was playing non-league football 2 years ago, and then you've got the youngsters Fabio Rafael. I mean, where do you think the defence sits in terms of experience and quality, and do you think it's as solid as it has been in previous years, so, say 2008?
No, it hasn't. I mean, you're looking back to a time when Vidic and Ferdinand were playing close to 50 games together in the centre of defence, and the strong point of United's team was the defence. To the point that Gerard Piqué, who's an exceptionally good defender, left Manchester United because he wasn't getting any chances. And in hindsight, he shouldn't have gone at that time, because he would have got far more chances the following season. But he wasn't to know that at the time. United were not lucky with injuries in the defence last year. Rio Ferdinand missed far more games than Vidic. I think Vidic still started 33 games in total, and Ferdinand was about 20. Wes Brown and Johnny Evans were just under 20 each. If Vidic and Ferdinand are back playing together, I think that's the best central defensive partnership in world football. I don't think they're going to be back playing together all the time, however. They've both started picking up injuries. I like Johnny Evans. I think he's good. I hope that he continues to improve. I like John O'Shea. He'll probably start at right back this season. I think Patrice Evra is probably the best left back in the world. Smalling, we don't know. We just don't know. I've not seen enough of him. I've not been convinced by what Fulham fans have told me about him. And I just think we have to put faith into the scouting and Sir Alex Ferguson's judgment on Smalling. He's certainly got the stature. He certainly looks like a footballer. And he's been training very well. The two Brazilians, they've got a lot of talent. But when I watch United play with them, I'm a little bit nervous. And there was a crushing sense of inevitability about what happened in the Bayern Munich game at Old Trafford. I could see that coming for so long before it happened. And I texted my mate who was at the other end of the ground. I just said, we're going out here. We're definitely going out. And he's a good player. You know, he showed in Milan. He had a bad first half against Ronaldinho. This is Rafael I'm talking about rather than Fabio. But then he improved immeasurably. They've both just got to cut down on the number of mistakes that they make, because defence, if you're a defender, first and foremost, it's about not making mistakes. Everything else then comes as a bonus. It's great to see them attacking. I do think they've got good futures ahead of them, but I think they've got to be used carefully.
We've got one trophy in the bag so far. What are your expectations for the season? Would you say that the Premier League title was obviously the number one priority, or do you think we can make an impact in the Champions League or even a little FA Cup? We've not won that for a few years. I mean, where do you think that we're going to sit come May 2011?
I think that is a really hard question to answer. And I could answer convincingly for us winning the league. And if I was at to say one position where I think United finished, it would be first. But there are warning signs there where you could say we're going to be lucky to be third or fourth. And there'll be a lot of criticism if United do finish outside of the top two. A lot depends on luck, injuries. I thought it was a really interesting statistic that United arrived in Moscow 2 years ago without a single injury. We seem to get payback for that last year. So injuries play a big part. Nani's got to continue his good form. Valencia as well is becoming a really important player. Rooney, we need more of the same. He scored 34 goals last year. Scholes and Giggs, anything we get is a bonus from them. We need a return to form from Berbatov and Michael Carrick. Fletcher is the most important midfielder at the club. Van der Sar's going to be turned 40 in October. Only the second ever player to play for United in his 40s. And the first one was in 1921, Billy Meredith. But he's still got the reflexes of a kid half of his age. So there's a lot of positives there. I would have loved to have seen David Villa join Manchester United. I think every United fan would have been the same. And I've interviewed David several times and he knows where I'm from and he always calls me Manchester and asks how I'm doing. I say, look, you know, cut all this out. Why don't you just come and join United? You absolutely love it. I've tried it on most of the people I've interviewed to the point that, you know, Lionel Messi would now wind me up about it and say, I'm not going, I'm going to join City instead. I'm like, yeah, you can't join City, mate. You're banned from joining City. Stay where you are. Stay where you're going to win trophies. But cautiously optimistic, but not. I don't have the conviction that I've had in previous seasons. But then the most confident I've ever been pre-season was 2001 when we signed Van Nistelrooy and Juan Sebastian Verón. And we didn't win the league the following year.
Well, let's hope we have a good year. I'm again in your camp. I'm quite hopeful, but I do think that we might have a bit of a struggle if injuries and things like that take hold. You mentioned City there. Are you worried about them at all with their extravagant spending and things like that, or do you think they'll continue to be the number two team in the city?
I do think United will finish above them this year, and I said I'll bet anyone that. Put my money where my mouth is on that one. One City fan's taken me up on that. All things being equal, they are going to improve. Mancini was a wonderful footballer. He's been a good manager. Although the Inter team he took over, he benefited slightly because Juventus and Milan were both diminishing forces at the time, whereas I don't think United are, and I still think Chelsea are strong and Arsenal are strong. I've seen a lot of Yaya Toure. I've interviewed him several times. Very, very good player. Strong, scores, shoots. Probably not worth what they're paying him. Also injury prone. He's had a lot of problems with his back. David Silva, very, very good player. But City had a lot of great players last year and they couldn't mould him into being a great team. And that's why I'm saying I'd rather have Darren Fletcher than Robinho. You know, I know Robinho is a wonderful and outstanding talent, but players like that don't always bode well for team spirit. And City have got a few personalities there who I think will be difficult to keep in check. And you saw it in the Derby games last year. United won 3 out of 4 games. And the game at City just kept going forward. United were away from home going forward. In the final minutes of the game, City were defending at home. They were favourites before the match. United just didn't give up. They were like a dog going after the bone. They just wouldn't stop. And I loved watching it. I'm thinking, this is brilliant. And it's all coming from Giggs and Scholes and Neville. And then they got the result in the end. And I don't see any reason why that can't happen again this year. Though I accept City will probably improve and get into the top four.
It'll definitely make for an exciting competition, to say the least. We have run out of time, Andy, but thank you again for coming on. For everybody that wants to check out Andy in the USA, we'll have a link to the video diary on the website as well, so we do urge you to check that out because it is very entertaining. But Andy, thank you very much for being a guest on the redcafe.net podcast.
It's a pleasure. I enjoyed it. And if you want to read more about the USA, it'll be in the first United We Stand of the season, which will be on sale outside the ground or through our website.
Excellent stuff. Thanks, Andy, and hopefully we'll speak to you later on in the season, where obviously we're sitting top of the Premier League and advancing far in Europe and the FA Cup as well.
I hope so, David. Take care now.
You're listening to the redcafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the redcafe.net forums.
Today we have Newcastle season ticket holder Rob Hardy on the redcafe.net podcast. So Rob, big question. Do you think your boys are going to get relegated this time around?
Honestly, no, I don't think we'll get relegated. I think it's going to be a struggle all season. We'll probably be down there in the mix come the end. But I think there's going to be a few teams worse than us knocking around down the bottom. Got the likes of Blackpool, Wolves, Wigan. I think I'll be in, probably down there as well. I think we're going to have enough about us this year to come out on the right side of that line, to be honest. I think the difference is this time, we've got a lot more team spirit than the season we went down. A lot of the players that we had then were just here for the money, not really playing for the team. But I think a season in the Championship, to put that team spirit back into the players, I think they actually want to fight for the club this time.
Well, I think you stay up. I mean, I can't see any reason why you would go down the road. I think you've got a decent squad, you've got decent players, and you've got that experience now of going down and not liking it. So I think you'll be fine. Like you say, people like Blackpool are going to be certain to be going down. So I think there's two places up for grabs, I think. And I don't think Newcastle would want them, to be honest with you.
No, sir. Yeah, I think it's probably a good thing. We had a season of the Championship, to be honest. It's made galvanised the club after a few seasons of just doing nothing really all over the media for all the wrong reasons. Just kind of put things in perspective and getting up to giving the fans something to cheer about. I mean, in the Championship, we're winning every week, which isn't usually happen to PR that much. So it's been pretty good, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, what about Andy Carroll, Rob? Because I know that a lot has been made of him, and he obviously is off the pitch antics, but people have been touting him as an England star and England, you know, future number nine. Is he that good?
I think he's got the potential. He's definitely along the lines of a Shearer-esque player, and now he's got the number nine. I think that can only help his confidence. He's big, he's strong, he's very good in the air. Don't think any defenders like playing against him, to be honest, because he's very physical as well. He knows how to use his elbows quite a lot. Which obviously Shearer used to do quite a bit as well.
So I was just going to say, yeah, Shearer knew how to do that.
I think he must have learned that one from Al, yeah. I think definitely if he keeps his head down, I mean, there's been a lot written about him, you know, his private life. He obviously punched Stephen Taylor in the jaw that time and broke his wrist doing that. He's had a few nightclub incidents as well, which isn't uncommon for Newcastle players, to be honest. But if he can keep his head down, concentrate on his game, I don't see why he can't be an England international.
Well, he's a young lad who's not got involved in a nightclub over the past. so, you know, just because he's footballers, I don't see any reason to slate him for him. And I just want to know, which United player do you reckon, if Newcastle had as much money in the world, which I don't think you have, but who would you, which United player would you try and buy?
Out of the current squad, I'd probably personally go for Paul Scholes. I think he's been on top of his game for a long time now, and he's showing no signs of letting his game drop. I think the Community Shield against Chelsea was a good example of that. Some of the passes he was playing was just exceptional. The similar type of player we've got in the middle of the park at the minute in Nolan Smith, we've always tried to have like a tenacious player in there like Scholes, but no one of that quality, so I definitely feel like him in there, to be honest.
The thing about having someone like Scholes, if you're a team like Newcastle as well, he creates so many chances just by his passing, like you say. Seems to need that sort of player. Go forward now to Monday's game, obviously Old Trafford. How do you think it'll pan out? Have you got any hopes of victory, or are you going to set up for a draw?
I think a draw would be a good result. A few years ago, we played each other on the first game of the season. We managed to somehow scrape a 1-1 draw, despite looking for long periods that wasn't going to happen. I think this time a draw would be a good result. We just need to concentrate on the defence, really. I think there's a lot of attacking threat from yourselves. So we really need to get ourselves in order first, maintain Man United, and maybe get one on the break. I think with the pace we've got with Jonas, Roger Feast, we've got the ability to cause problems, but really it's just sorting out at the bar first and getting organised, keeping a shape and obviously containing the threat.
Well, the good thing for you as well is the fact that United seem to start the seasons off slowly in the league. I know we drew against Reading a few years ago, like you mentioned then, we drew against yourselves, 2 years ago. So, I think you've got a decent chance, but I wouldn't write off United. another Saturday game on Sunday. Yeah. We look really good, so hopefully we can. Hopefully, from my point of view, we can follow up with a win.
Yeah, I mean, the phrase that I kind of get annoyed by is that it's a good time to play Manchester United. I don't really see that as a like, it's not a big thing really, because the players you've got, it's going to be a difficult match. Whenever you play, I mean, you've seen on Sunday, that team won against Chelsea. For long, we just dominated the game, so I don't think it's an ideal time to play Manchester United. It's just depending on what happens on the day. If you guys play below par and we can manage to put a good team performance in, then we might get a result. But it's going to be tough.
Okay, Rob, that's great. We'll just draw that to an end there. Thanks for joining us, and best of luck for the season.
All right, no worries. All right, yeah, you too, mate.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
So that's us here from the opposition. What do we think, Dan? How do we think the game against Newcastle will go on Monday evening?
Generally, Newcastle matches are fairly entertaining, aren't they? So we're looking forward to going on Monday night. And hopefully, yeah, we'll start the season off well. I mean, we mentioned before, we don't really start the season off brilliantly most seasons. But hopefully we can get a win under our belt. It'll kick us off nicely. I hope that Hernandez plays from the start. Possibly with Rooney, but we'll see what Fergie does. I think it'll be a very good game, and obviously Newcastle, you know, it doesn't really matter if they get thumped in the first game because they've got the rest of the season, so I think they'll go for it as well.
No, definitely, I would agree with you. I'd like to see Hernandez start, and Nani as well. I didn't think Park was up to too much in the Charity Shield, so I'd like Nani to be given a go on that left side and see if he can do anything as well. So.
Well, there'd be no reason to play Park against Newcastle, really, because, I mean, I know they probably will go for it, but I don't think there's enough quality in the Newcastle team to say that Park should definitely start. I think we should take the game to them, put Nani on the left, Valencia on the right, 4-4-2, and go for it that way.
Do you think Fletcher will come in and play a Carrick or Scholes in the middle, or do you think he'll play more or less the same team that started the Charity Shield?
Yeah, I was surprised that Fletcher didn't start on Sunday, because I know that Carrick was meant to be injured, wasn't he? And then that's why I assumed Fletcher would start, but Fergus Funga surprised there. But yeah, I reckon that that Fletcher will start the game on Monday. I think he's become a massive part of the club, and you've got to start playing him every game now, because I think he's that type of player that thrives on it.
Yeah, well, he did say he said recently he wants to become a legend at the club as well, so he'll be looking to sort of push on further. Obviously, he's a key player already for us, and he'll be looking to sort of cement that status this season, where he is one of the first names on the team sheet as well. So I tend to agree with you. I think it'll be an entertaining game. Newcastle aren't really renowned for their defensive qualities, generally speaking. Obviously just promoted as well from the Championship, so I don't think they shouldn't. They won't have the quality. They don't have the quality of player that we have, and I would tend to expect us to maybe start a season strongly. I think, like you said, mentioned that we start slow. I think this could be maybe a 3-0 result, maybe 4, depending on how hungry some of the guys are that are starting and how fit they are as well. But I think we could definitely get our goal difference to a very, very good start against them.
I'm not as confident as you, but yeah, I can see what you're saying. I think if we get another goal, I think that'll settle us down then, and I think we can build on that.
We're expecting 3 points at the end of the day. Obviously, good to obviously get a good start and things like that. And we shall be back after the game on Monday night. So we should have a show just out after that. So yeah, we shall look forward to speaking to everybody then. Also, we're still looking for suggestions and things like that for people, what you want to hear regarding features and things like that for the next season. So email us, it's podcast@redcafe.net. So just get any suggestions in for what you want to hear. Also, if you've got any questions, topics, things like that you want to ask us or want us to answer for you, again, email us at that address, and we shall endeavour to answer them next week. So thanks again for listening, and we shall talk to you then.